Have you ever heard of the story of Jason McElwain? Jason was a 17-year-old kid with autism who longed to play basketball, but could never make the team because of his autism. Instead, Jason volunteered to be his varsity team's manager for the Greece Athena High School in Rochester, New York. He worked hard all year long, filling water bottles, cleaning the locker room, and being the team's number one fan. At the final game of the year, however, he was added to the roster by Coach Jim Johnson so that he could be given a jersey and get to sit on the bench with the rest of the team. Johnson hoped that the situation would even enable him to get McElwain out onto the floor for a little playing time. And unbelievably, he got the chance, with Greece Athena up by double digits and with only 4 minutes to go. And in the first action of his life in a game setting, Jason missed his first two shots, but then, unbelievably, get this, sank 6 3-pointers and another shot for a total of 20 points in 3 minutes. His coach says, quote, "I've had a lot of thrills in coaching. I've coached a lot of wonderful kids, but I've never experienced a thrill such as this." Of course, the crowd went wild and his teammates even carried Jason off the court. It beamed the autistic boy, quote, "I felt like a celebrity." Jason's mother sees it as a milestone for her son. "This is the first moment Jason has ever succeeded and could be proud of himself," she says. "I look at autism like the Berlin Wall, and he just cracked it." You know, he is truly one of the least likely basketball heroes ever. He scored 20 points in 3 minutes. Now, since that game, millions around the world have seen this tremendous feat. It was so amazing that when George Bush watched it on the news, he said that he wept. 3 weeks later, the then President of the United States met with Jason and his family to congratulate him. And since then, this 17-year-old autistic underdog has been on Oprah and has been interviewed by every major sports network in North America. And now, Magic Johnson is co-producing a movie about his life. And on top of that, he's received thousands of letters from all over the world, from people whom he has inspired. Many of those letters have come from individuals who suffer with autism, and they've written Jason to thank him for giving them hope. Who knew? Who knew that hope could come in the form of a kid with autism? Who knew that hope could come in the form of a kid whose job it was to fill up water bottles and hand out towels? Hello, everybody. My name is Guy Hammond. I'm not only the evangelist of a church in Eastern Canada, in Halifax, Nova Scotia, but I'm also the founder and executive director of a ministry called Strength in Weakness Ministries. And it's an organization that helps Christians who come from a homosexual past, but who still live with unwanted same-sex attractions. And we're also educating church leaders and Christians alike on how to effectively reach out to our gay friends and neighbors for Christ in a respectful and loving way that in conjunction holds out the biblical sexual ethic that would truly be representative of Jesus. Now, while I don't have all the answers to this very complex, multi-layered and confusing subject of homosexuality and other sexual identity issues and how they relate to matters of faith, I do know somewhat of what I'm talking about because I am a same-sex attracted Christian. Before becoming a disciple of Jesus 24 years ago, I lived an openly gay life. In fact, being attracted to the same sex is all I've ever known. And since becoming a disciple, however, God has worked and moved in powerful ways. First, I'll tell you that I'm excited to admit, by the grace of God, that I have not participated in any kind of homosexual activity now since my conversion 24 years ago. I've also been married to my wife, Kathy, for 20 years and have 4 great kids, 2 of whom are our biological children, and 2 of whom we recently adopted. But the reality is in my life that regardless of these successes, regardless of the blessings that God has given me, a wife and a family, becoming a minister of the gospel, same-sex attraction is still a part of my life today. In spite of the thousands of hours of prayer and begging and crying and studying and trying to figure it all out, the bottom line is that I am still attracted to the same sex. And this has made my spiritual walk very difficult at times. And I have found the church to be largely out of touch on how to help. And I have found the answers that have been given to me as an answer to be embarrassingly simplistic. And I have found the church to be many times, not always, but many times a place that is not safe for me to be open about my sexual identity issues. Knowing the struggle all too well, I started Strength and Weakness Ministries, knowing that there had to be many in the church who were also suffering silently with same-sex attraction, but who, because of fear of rejection, lived a life of spiritual isolation, afraid that they would be found out. You can check out the website either for help for yourself or just to educate yourself or to help someone in your church. It's at www.strengthinweakness.org. Okay, guys, so thanks for sharing all of this, but you're wondering, how on earth does this fit into the story of Jason, this autistic kid who scored 20 points in 3 minutes in a high school basketball game? Well, I'll tell you what. I love the story of Jason McElwain. Being autistic, Jason had a lot of things going against him. But he rose above this and did something tremendous anyway and ended up inspiring millions of others, giving people hope. Jason McElwain is where hope lived. And this is how we need to look at disciples who are same-sex attracted. Even though they struggle with this immense challenge, even though they've lived a life of fear and rejection, they love Jesus and are faithful disciples of his, and their faith and willingness to deny something that seems so natural in order to follow Christ is something that can give not only a lost and dying world hope, but all disciples as well. Now let me pull you in. You know, in a spiritual sense, we're all Jason McElwain's. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. You know, every single one of us before becoming a Christian had to reach a point in our lives where we realized that we couldn't make it on our own any longer. We had to accept and confess our weaknesses and humbly admit, I am a sinner. I've made a mess of things. I have made too many mistakes and I can't find my way out. You know, no matter how successful you may have been with your finances or career or education, all of us have had to get to a point in our lives where we knew that without God, we weren't all that after all. That behind the facade of happiness and coolness, of looking like we have it all together, we were really empty inside, weak, and in need of a Savior to rescue us. But you know what? That's okay. In fact, that's just the condition that God knew he could work in the best. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Well, look at what God did for you and I through Jesus. He took us from this foolish, lowly, and despised and sinful state and lifted us up to a new reality that is available only with Jesus. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work with those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now that was our state before Jesus stepped in. It doesn't look very good, does it? In our old selves, we were dead, blindly following our sinful natures and desires and thoughts, living aimlessly and pointless lives, and to God being objects of wrath. Not a great resume. But the scripture continues. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And so God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us who are in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, no, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow, isn't that incredible? You know, this should make us jump with joy. We need to be so thrilled and excited and so grateful. This scripture tells us that because of God's love for us, we who were once dead and enemies of God are now alive and seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And that God's desire is to show His incomparable riches of His grace. You and I now exist so that God can prove to the rest of the universe through us how gracious and forgiving He is. In other words, hope now lives in you and I. Isn't that incredible? Being seated beside Jesus on His throne and being given a new life means that we have a responsibility. And we have a responsibility to respond. When 17-year-old Jason was interviewed by ESPN, he was asked, "What did that one night show people?" Jason responded, "The sky is the limit. That there is nothing you can't do if you don't give it your all." And that really is the case with us as Christians, isn't it? What is not possible with God on your side? We all have our challenges. We have our physical limitations. We have our temptations and struggles and pasts to deal with. But with God on our side, what is it that you cannot accomplish? Do the scriptures not say, with God, all things are possible? What we all want in life is a shot. Well, Jason had his, and he made the absolute most of it. It's a story of how someone was given a chance. And what of us? Every day with Jesus, because He has made us alive, we are given another shot at life. The old is gone, the new has come, yesterday is gone, today is a brand new slate. You know, Jason didn't realize the impact that he was going to have on millions of people when he made those shots. Likewise with us, we don't often see the impact that we're having. We don't often understand how God wants to use us when we go out into the court of life and live as God has asked us to. But that is how God wants to use our lives. Where the world can see that in spite of our infirmities, in spite of our weaknesses and our mistakes and our failings, we still live lives that are full of victory. Do you know who Guy Hammond is without Jesus? I'm a coward, a liar, a cheat, a gossiper, an adulterer, a homosexual. I am mean-spirited and selfish. But with Jesus, I'm a new creation. I am brave. I tell the truth. I don't cheat. I don't gossip. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a homosexual. And I'm not mean-spirited. And I'm not selfish. And in Jesus, even when I fall in any of these areas, although I try desperately not to, I am covered with Jesus' blood and forgiven. And that is supposed to give others hope. In Rochester, New York, after the game, Jason went back to being the high school basketball manager. But who knew that hope for millions could come from a kid with autism? Who knew that hope could come in the form of a kid whose main job it was to fill up water bottles and hand out towels? Who knew? You and I present hope. Hope to a lost and dying world. And for disciples who used to live a gay life, who knew? Who knew that hope could come from them? But it does. They present hope to every other disciple who battles with same gender attraction. They present hope to homosexuals who do not yet know that there is a better way to get their emotional needs met. They present hope to the church, standing as a shining example of what discipleship for Jesus truly is. All of us are Jasons. All of us present hope. I hope that encourages you. And I hope and trust that your life will encourage others. Thank you very much.